Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Donald Trump becomes the first former U.S. president to face criminal charges. So what happens next?
Tonight, breaking news as we come on the air, the indictment of former President Donald Trump, the first time a former president will face criminal charges in U.S. history. Tonight, multiple sources confirming to ABC News the New York grand jury voting late today to indict Donald Trump.
We're coming on the air tonight with breaking news. Former President Donald Trump has just been indicted by a New York grand jury, an unprecedented moment in American history. What we're learning tonight, will Donald Trump surrender, be handcuffed, and fingerprinted? The precise charges are under seal and not yet known. Alvin Bragg in the Manhattan District Attorney's Office case is linked to Trump's role in hush money payments to former porn star Stormy Daniels. All actions taken from before he became president.
So, anything happen overnight? Anything happened since yesterday? Yesterday afternoon, I think it was breaking news during Bobby's show, right around 5 o'clock yesterday. But this is the only thing that the whole world is talking about now. You have a former president being indicted on mystery charges. I mean. We think we know what they are, but still, they have not been unveiled yet. They're not going to be unveiled until he surrenders. To me, look, that alone is weird. You know, we are indicting you on some stuff. What stuff? Tell you later. When you surrender for arraignment. What now? That's weird. That alone is weird. Also weird is that they are misdemeanor charges. Like the issue of the campaign finance or the business reporting, which is, again, we don't know exactly what the charges are, but this all has to do with the, $130,000 that Michael Cohen paid Stormy Daniels to cover up for an alleged affair between before he was president, okay, but Donald Trump, just dude Trump, in 2006, and, to keep her quiet, but it was in 2016 that the payments were made in the run-up to the 2016 election in order to keep her from being, October surprise, right? That was the goal of the payments from Michael Cohen, who's already been in jail over this, right? The question is, did Trump know about them? And then the not reporting it as a campaign contribution because it's related to the campaign, but instead reporting it as legal fees and or a business expenses violation because there are certain records in New York that that prohibit making a, quote, false entry in the business records of an enterprise. Because it doesn't do you, a whole lot of good if you pay somebody to be quiet about immorality and then you report it as paying somebody to be quiet of an immorality on a record that could potentially become public. That kind of defeats the purpose. But anyway, that's basically the question. And then, that's a misdemeanor. So how does this get to be a felony? Well, there has to be some additional charge, and you have to connect the two together because that would bump it up to becoming a felony, right? Also, statute of limitations. In New York, typically these kinds of violations go for 5 years. So it was 2006 that the thing happened. 2006 that the affair allegedly happened. 2016 that the thing happened. But that would make it 2021, and it's now 2023. Well, apparently in New York they have a thing called tolling, or the case could be tolled, which allows for an extension of the timeline to bring criminal charges if the defendant has continually been out of the state, which of course President Trump has been out of New York. But the theory behind that is that it was impossible to build a case because somebody's unavailable. Like, it has to do with the procedural capabilities of developing a case against a person because they're out of the state. At least that's how I understand it. And you can't really make that here. So technically, there was a business reporting violation, possibly also a campaign finance violation. Technically, you could connect a couple of things together to maybe elevate it from a misdemeanor. And technically, the fact that it's more than 5 years old could be superseded by the idea that President Trump lived out of the state for so long, even though that certainly does not fall within the spirit of the reason you would be able to extend the lifespan of an indictment for a felony or for a misdemeanor in this case, because the underlying charge is the one that has the statute of limitations against it. So pretty weak sauce all around. Oh, by the way, did I mention that there were two former district attorneys from the state of New York who passed on the case, saying that it was too weak to prosecute? And now, all of a sudden, when former President Trump is running for office, you know, like everybody knows that this is political. I mean, everybody knows that this is political. Come on, find me a person that's like, no, I just think that he's following through on the due process and making sure that all the crimes get prosecuted. And he's just doing his basic job. I mean, it's not like the guy was funded by George Soros. Oh, wait, he was funded by George Soros? Crap. Okay. Yeah, that's actually true. Response from Republicans has been, you know, fairly consistent across the board, most notably from Mike Pence. Sorry, that's not the one. I got to find this. I was gathering this stuff this morning and trying to get it together real quick. Here we go. Nope, that's not it. I'm going to get here one of these times, though. Making me angry. No, it was a really good clip from Vice President Trump.
Leading the news.
Nah, I'll get it in a second. Doesn't matter. Anyway, he basically said this is outrageous. And it is. I mean, it is outrageous. And it's the kind of thing where it's such a weak charge on the basis of a behavior that was done well before he was in office, but is sort of connected to the 2016 campaign, but is outside the statute of limitations. I mean, you can see all of these limitations. So is this the kind of thing that you want to see former presidents who run for re-election? Because we all know that's the relevant fact here, right? Is this the kind of thing that you want to see former presidents dragged in front of a court for in the run-up to another election when they're declared candidates? Well, there's two sides to that argument, right? One side says this is so outrageous and minor and clearly political. The other side would say, but the rule of law requires that everybody be equally subject to the laws. And if you broke a law, you broke a law, right? And that's all there is to it. But the counter to that is, would any other citizen be treated this way? Would any other citizen under relevant circumstances? Because it's one thing to say, and it's true to say, that rich, powerful, politically connected, even former presidents are not immune from the law. Absolutely true. That's the rule of law. But would other citizens, because sometimes what happens is they get more favorable treatment, right? And we know that's true. Sometimes people get more favorable treatment because they have wealth, influence, fame, power, whatever. And sometimes they get worse treatment because of their politics. And after the Russia hoax, the Mueller hoax, impeachment one, impeachment two, the Mar-a-Lago nonsense, which, of course, you know, was big news until we found out that, oh, crap, everybody does that. It's really easy to perceive that there is this never-ending harassment of Donald Trump on the basis of either completely fabricated charges or things that everybody should have known that, like, I mean, some of the stuff that was done with him with, like, the Russia stuff is amazing, you know, and the dossier, just, it's crazy. So there has been a never-ending, a ceaseless attack on him for things that every time they come up, you're like, the what now? And how serious is that? And not really, you know, does it rise to that level? Okay, and this looks like that all over again. You know, the prosecutors, Democrats in general, are the ones who, they always cry Trump. Over and over again. Okay, on the other hand, okay, and I say this as somebody who always strives to, you know, question my own responses, my own beliefs, and, you know, look at my own consistency on cases. And I'll tell you, there's two words that make me just, they give me a check on my own consistency. Bill Clinton. What happened in the impeachment of Bill Clinton? He had an affair with Monica Lewinsky while in office, right? Okay, that he then...
And not just emotional.
Right, that he then denied under oath perjury, which we clearly had evidence for, blue dress, right? That's, I mean, that's, okay, and then there was an impeachment brought against him. What did Republicans say about, well, what did Democrats say about this at the time? It was a minor private sexual behavior that every other president or many other presidents have engaged in, and you're just targeting him because you want to get rid of him politically. Right? That's what Democrats said at the time. What did Republicans say at the time? No, the rule of law matters, and perjury matters, and high crimes and misdemeanors, right? And we don't want a president who lies to the American people, which he did. I did not have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. Finger waggle, finger waggle, finger waggle. Right? I mean, you know, that's what we said at the time is, yes, sexual behavior, but also adultery, you know? And are you cool with the president committing adultery? Does that compromise his ability to be a reliable officer and representative of the United States? I mean, these were all the things Republicans said at the time, things I said at the time. Did you care more about the perjury charge? Did you care more about the sexual infidelity? Did it matter more that he was in office at the time as opposed to being, you know, 10 years prior to office? Like, what if the Monica Lewinsky thing had been while he was governor, but then it came out that he paid her to be quiet about it when he ran for president, right? That would start to put this in a... And then falsified a business record, or that a business record on his behalf was falsified, because that's kind of the question. You know, you start to see some of the parallels here. And so I'll just tell you, I don't fall with my fellow Republicans in thinking this is completely outrageous, because I remember things that I said and that we said about Bill Clinton back in the day. But at the same time, do you want to live in a United States where a clearly politically motivated district attorney can take a, at worst, misdemeanor that's beyond the statute of limitations, artificially inflate it to a felony when two former prosecutors wouldn't go down this road, and use that after the president, former president, has already started to campaign to run again, and use that as the reason to derail his reelection bid? Is that the America you want to live in? 437-1620, 437-1620. And then there's all of just like the plain old practical questions. Like, does this even hurt Trump? Or does it help him? Does it make him look more victim? Right? That's a fair question. You know, is this going to hurt his fundraising? Oh, I'm sure not. I'm sure this is going to increase his fundraising capabilities. By the way, DeSantis says, it's un-American, it's ridiculous, and we are not going to facilitate extradition if he wants to resist the charges. Now, he's not going to. He's going to go to New York. It looks like next Tuesday is when the arraignment's going to take place. But, you know, DeSantis, who had been, let's just say, tepid previously on some of this, right, simultaneously defending Trump and also obliquely criticizing him for the affair, alleged affair, okay, you know, but yesterday the response was very straightforward. We're not going to help him. This is ridiculous. So there you go. That's what happened overnight. Well, late yesterday afternoon. 5:23 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors, great place to buy used cars. What they specialize in is cars that are 1, 2, maybe 3 years old, low miles, great condition, good prices, like almost new, near new. You know, like somebody else had it new and you get to have it almost new. And one of the things you can do when you're thinking about that next vehicle is make the decision between a new and a used car. And that's fine. That's an adult decision. Go drive the, or look at, whatever you want to do, the new vehicle, whatever it is, and then see the price. And then go to Frontier and drive the 1 or 2 year old vehicle and see the price and make a decision. You know, how much is brand new worth to you? I mean, that's an adult comparison, right? Maybe you decide that the $5,000 or $6,000 or $8,000 is worth it. And maybe you decide, it doesn't really make a lot of sense because you want to follow Dave Ramsey's advice, my advice, which is, you know, buy almost new cars and then drive them into the ground. That's a great way to get your value out of a car. So whatever your choice is, just include Frontier Motors on your list. You know, make sure they're part of your option set, right? 25 years serving the Pensacola community right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell him Andrew McKay says hi.
I can't wait for what's next. Even with higher stroke risk due to atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem, Eliquis, apixaban tablets, reduces stroke risk. It's the number one cardiologist-prescribed blood thinner.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without talking to your doctor, as this may increase your risk of stroke. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or have antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or unusual bruising, or if you have tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. It may increase your bleeding risk if you take medicines such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
If you haven't been to Home Outlet, you're missing out on the best value on kitchens, baths, floors, and more. You could be saving big on your kitchen remodel with in-stock cabinets starting at $78 per linear foot and in-stock countertops starting at just $63. And with the guaranteed lowest price, you can be sure you're getting the best value for your project dollar. Visit us in-store or shop online for in-store pickup at homeoutlet.com.
The Dave Ramsey Show. Afternoons at 1. After Brian Kilmeade on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We're listening to a podcast.
Ooh, what's a podcast?
A podcast is like a TV show, but without the pictures.
Baby, that's called radio. What you're describing is radio. One, two! If you ever hear us now, shut the night. Your body starts to sweat.
Man, I needed a little bit of specials this morning. Come on now. It's my favorite part. I love this song so much. There you go.
They played Springfest before you got here. Yeah. We had this thing called Springfest.
Oh, yeah,
played,
yeah.
Yeah, main stage, man. I was like, oh, the specials. Oh, my gosh.
So awesome.
Yes.
All right, 527 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Happy Friday to you. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
And good morning, guys. Well, it seems the only thing anybody's talking about, former President Trump's indictment. CNN reporting he could be facing up to 30 separate charges when he's arraigned on Tuesday. Finland joining NATO on Thursday. The Turkish parliament unanimously voted in favor of Finland's membership. It was the last hurdle Finland had to clear in order to join the military alliance. And the former CEO of MasterCard now set to become the next president of World Bank. President Biden nominated A.J. Banga last month to lead that organization. The 63-year-old spent most of the last month visiting creditor and borrower nations to build support for the nomination. They lend out about $100 billion every year.
Okay, so on the Finland story, they're not officially in yet. They're just cleared to be in, right?
Right, right. They're
okay.
Trying
right.
to join.
Okay, yeah. That is, and Turkey had been the opposition, right, obviously.
Right.
Okay, very good. 6:05:28 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, man, yesterday. What was yesterday?
He's a 15-time All-Star, winner of 13 Gold Gloves, first ballot Hall of Famer, and the greatest shortstop of all time, Ozzie Smith.
It was opening day, and I'm just telling you, if you've never seen an opening day in St. Louis, it's a spectacle. I mean, it's
the whole town is a party.
Oh my god! And I know other towns do their thing, but I'm from St. Louis, so I'm going to celebrate it a little bit. And then things got started.
70 degrees again. The wind from right to left, and we are ready for the 2023 season to open. And the guy that's going to do it for us is the voice of the Cardinals. That is John Rooney.
Okay, Ricky, good job. Great pregame ceremonies, opening day, first pitch of the season. Michaelis throws, ball one low.
There you go. And on the very first day, we've had a pitcher that got called for the first violation. It was a Cubs pitcher for the clock violation. You had the Red Sox had got their first player got called out on a strikeout because he wasn't ready. And so we've already had some violations in, and history got made again in St. Louis.
So Tyler O'Neill will bat 3 years in a row, he has hit a big fly on opening day. Hits that ball hard into right center field. And looking up is the center fielder, and it's gone! A big fly for Tyler O'Neill. Four opening day homers in a row.
What?
For the Cardinals center fielder.
Yeah, that's amazing. He's 4 years in a row. He's hit a home run on opening day. That ties a major league record. So pretty fun. Of course, Cardinals didn't win. That's okay, though. That's okay. It was a great game. I mean, they lost 10-9 in the ninth inning to the Blue Jays. And that's the whole thing. It doesn't matter.
Oh,
it's
Toronto.
I know. But it's good games. It's fun. It's summer is coming. And baseball is here again. David Wayne, what do you have coming up, sir?
The permitless carry gun bill is headed to the governor's desk.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Former President Trump's attorneys are in contact with prosecutors in New York to work out his surrender to face criminal charges related to hush money payments before his election. The charges are sealed until his initial court appearance.
The Secret Service would accompany Trump at all times. That includes fingerprinting and processing. The use of handcuffs would be negotiated. An arraignment date could come as early as next Tuesday, we're told. And in the case of any protests here in New York City, well, the NYPD said they would handle that.
Fox's Jackie Ibanez. The actress Gwyneth Paltrow is found not liable for a Utah ski slope collision with a retired optometrist seeking damages for his injuries.
The jury awarded Paltrow $1. She countersued the plaintiff, Terry Sanderson, for that dollar. The dollar also gave Paltrow the vindication she sought when she refused to settle the case out of court.
Fox's Trace Gallagher. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, partly cloudy at 66 in Pensacola. And Donald Trump says he's the victim of a witch hunt. The former president responded yesterday to the reports that he's been indicted by that Manhattan grand jury. He says Democrats have done the unthinkable by indicting a completely innocent person in an act of blatant election interference. Trump also accusing District Attorney Alvin Bragg of doing Joe Biden's dirty work while ignoring murders, burglaries, and assaults. He wrote this all on Truth Social. He says that it will backfire massively. Again, Trump expected to be arraigned on the charges on Tuesday. That permitless carry gun bill now headed to Governor Ron DeSantis' desk. That law passed yesterday through the Senate on a 27-13 vote. That means that once it goes into effect, anybody that can legally own a firearm will be able to concealed carry without needing to get a permit from the state. Now, currently, that permit is required, which does require a background check and a training course. Now, under this new law, anybody who was previously prohibited from owning a firearm will still not be allowed to possess or carry a weapon. Tate High School had to be locked down yesterday after a threat was made. Channel 3 reporting a student told a teacher he'd heard someone was planning to shoot up the school. The threats were investigated. Again, they were cleared by early Thursday afternoon. Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons says he doesn't know what would possess someone to make a shooting threat at a school.
Just like I don't know what makes someone think that it's okay to shoot up a school, clearly. You've got the national media, you know, that talks about it, and it's on everyone's mind at the school shootings. So I think that people are really on high alert for that sort of thing.
And Simmons says that these types of threats are made dozens of times every year. So far, there's no word on whether any students were disciplined for those threats. If you're looking for work, the Pensacola International Airport might be looking for you. They're holding a job fair next week. It'll be on the second floor of the terminal building in the airport administration office on April 5th. They say there's a lot of full and part-time jobs open in several areas, including the TSA, ramp agents, rental car agents, customer service, cargo, parking, maintenance, fueling, all sorts of openings there. Job seekers are encouraged to register for this job fair online, and we're going to go ahead and post a link for that on the News Radio website so you can check that out at your convenience. It is 5:34 at News Radio 92.3.
We're going
going to be seeing a few more clouds in the area for this afternoon, but still looking nice with some peaks of sunshine. Temperatures warming up into the mid to upper 70s. Overnight tonight, we are expecting to stay warm with lows in the 70s. As we head into the weekend, we will have a small chance of rain build in, 30% chance of showers as we go into Saturday afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies with a high near 82. Saturday night temperatures dropping near 57. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, 534, 66 in Pensacola, 68 in Gulf Breeze, 59 in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Hey, Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Are you curious about marijuana? Florida A&M University established the Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, also known as MARI, to educate the public about medical marijuana use as well as the detrimental health and social impacts of unlawful marijuana use on local communities. Find out more at mmeri.famu.edu.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The 13th annual Navy Federal 5K is Saturday. Run, walk, or roll through downtown Pensacola. The start and finish will be at Seville Square. All ages welcome. See NavyFederal.org for more. The Pensacola Jazz Fest is Saturday and Sunday at Seville Square Gazebo Stage. Enjoy music from local to national artists, food, arts, crafts, and more. See PensacolaJazzFest.com. Submit your event at NewsRadio923.com.
News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Informative news and talk. Local news and talk. And dependable news and talk. Now on the FM dial at 95.3.
I would take staff advice and I would go with Oak Crest, Beach Haven, and was third one Carver, Liz? Yeah, that would be my three, but those are all LMI, they're all stormwater drainage, staff recommendation. They meet the intent of the policy, so that's where I'm at.
This is County Commissioner Mike Kohler from District 2 in Escambia County during the meeting last week talking about the rebuild Sally funds that were designed to compensate areas that were hard hit by Hurricane Sally. Of course, Escambia and Santa Rosa County were the most hard hit. And so it was somewhere on the order of, I think it was $58 million. That's 54. I think it was $58 million that's going to be available total between Santa Rosa and Escambia County, which would include, of course, City of Milton, City of Pensacola. It would technically include City of Gulf Breeze, but they don't have, I think, very many or if any low to moderate income areas. So, you know, I don't think they're putting anything in. But the issue is that Pensacola has asked for, you know, like $40 million of it. Santa Rosa has asked for, I think, three or something like that. I think Milton asked for about 10, and Escambia was voting on this after most everybody else had decided already. And the problem is if there's only 58 to go around, well, if we ask for 100, you know, some people are going to get told no. So then trying to figure out which projects to ask for, not ask for, and some of the projects like the Ashton Brosnahan Sportsplex, even Barry's like, I really, really want this project, but I guess we can't win with it, so let's drop it. They did include the ECAT rehab, which I think is a dubious project for this particular purpose. You know, stormwater, septic to sewer, that kind of stuff, that's like A-plus prime right in the heart of it. The city is asking for a whole bunch of money related to the Hollis T. Williams stormwater project, which is, of course, stormwater related and therefore Sally relevant. But also, you know, the project was kind of already in the works, and it's an enormous slice of the pie to, you know, to go all to one municipality. So that's kind of the backdrop of all of this. And when we talked with Wes Moreno yesterday about that, you know, we kind of got into some of those details. I just wanted to have you to have the background on it. Wes Moreno, Escambia County Administrator, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Yeah,
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's great to be here this morning.
Great to have you. I know this conversation caused a lot of consternation among the commissioners, in part because they were frustrated about the process, about the designation, about the age of the data being used to score or unscore as an LMI area. I have kind of a different question here, which is, did Escambia and the city and Santa Rosa, did you all ever coordinate when this came down just to see, hey, is there maybe a way that we can put forward a set of proposals that we all get something out of and that we're not really competing against each other, but that we would kind of all be happy to get where, you know, we're not over-requesting from the pot? Did that ever happen?
No, it did not. We did not coordinate with Santa Rosa, and I think the city, you know, they had their priorities, and so they submitted theirs, and then so we chose ours, and but there was no coordination between the three.
Okay. I mean, as a citizen, I know it's easy to say looking back, but I know you guys benefited to a degree from knowing in advance what Pensacola and Santa Rosa were going to do, but it just seems like that would be a, you know, that would be a maybe a better way to not compete against each other for this limited money, but to figure out, hey, can we all do this in a way that makes us all get what we want, right?
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that strategy. You know, we have so many initiatives, so many priorities in the CMB, and the city has theirs as well. And, you know, a lot of our initiatives really don't border the city, and really it would be hard to kind of work it in to combine efforts there in some areas. But, you know, we'll see how we move going forward. If we have an opportunity to work with the city, we always do, and we're happy to do so.
And this, if I read the proposals right, and you and I have talked about this a little bit before too, but that two of the three asks have to do with directly stormwater drainage, and they're all low to middle income areas or moderate income areas, which means that they're eligible, so to speak. The ECAT one is the only one that I don't really understand the connection to. And I mean, look, they're going to score how they're going to score, but are you realistically anticipating that one getting approved?
Hopeful. Certainly we're hopeful. You know, ECAT sits in an area that experiences a flooding, you know, a historical flooding. During Hurricane Sally, we had severe flooding there at ECAT. And so, and it is in kind of the Delano area where we would want to make some stormwater improvements. And we have a plan to do that. And so, yeah, we're hopeful that we get some funding for that. And we're also applying for another grant as well for ECAT to put, you know, if we only get partially funded, we're going to continue to go after some additional grant monies to relocate ECAT.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that was brought up in the meeting is the concern that, you know, hey, maybe we get approval for some of it, and then we're on the hook for trying to find the rest of the funds our own way. If you're going to do the project anyway, that's a benefit. If it's a project you wouldn't have done it otherwise, you know, that can be a cost. One of the other things I wanted to talk about with you a little bit is, a good news note, we got some new jet skis, right, from New Orleans?
We did. We got some new jet skis. Got three of them, and kudos to Jamie Higdon and Eric Gilmore. We're working together there. You know, Jamie is just... He's always creative in how and looking for opportunities to bring in needed equipment. We've been needing jet skis for quite some time, and believe it or not, they're hard to come by. We looked last year, we just couldn't get them, and so you know he didn't take it off his radar. He kept looking, and he found these over in New Orleans. And so we scooped them up while we had the opportunity.
No, that's good news. And I love that, you know, we scramble and find stuff, especially in the, you know, COVID, post-COVID environment. That can be a challenge. Something I have been wanting to ask you about because I thought that it was a very interesting and telling moment in the committee in the commission meeting last week. I'm going to play a little bit of this audio, and then I'm going to get you to react. This is you talking about the procurement department.
And whereas the Escambia County Purchasing Department is a member of the National Institute for Government Procurement, the NGIP recognizes, supports, and practices the public procurement values and guiding principles of accounting ethics, impartiality, professionalism, service, and transparency. And whereas it is fitting that we recognize and honor the ongoing contributions of America's purchasing professionals by observing Purchasing Month with the motto, Purchasing, Helping Build Better Business and Government.
I thought it was awesome to hear you be so emotional about something that most people might not even know exists as a government department, procurement. You seem to be almost on the verge of tears there. Pretty emotional moment for you talking about them and their turnaround.
Well, yeah, they have. It's been such an amazing turnaround, and in a very short amount of time, in my opinion. But to see the work that this group does, and to see the team that Jeff Lovinggood has built, and the excitement when you go down to purchasing, it's night and day from what it used to be. I mean, it used to be like going into a dungeon almost. And now, you go down there, everybody's upbeat, everybody's happy. There's some excitement, an air of excitement in there, and they're driving work, and they want to do good work, and they are doing good work. And it's just amazing to see a group come together and be successful and continue to want to drive and continue to want to improve. And, you know, we had a record year last year, even with being understaffed. And then this year, those guys are just flying down there. They're just driving work out. And it's noticeable. Every agenda you see, we're awarding work, whether it be a design or construction. And it's just amazing. Didn't think we'd ever see it. I think it's the best, in my tenure anyway, it's the best procurement's ever been. And I think it's just noteworthy.
You know? No, it is.
It is amazing.
And I'm glad to give them the kudos. I'm glad, and I was glad that you talked about it. I mean, you know, people might not realize, but you know, imagine if nobody in your house ever went shopping, what would happen? You know, like.
Well, I'll say this. It has been. If you're going to be the administrator, you better have a good procurement department.
Yeah.
If you don't, you're going to have problems. I've seen it. I've heard it. And a good telltale sign is. The board never speaks of procurement. I like that, because if they're speaking of procurement, they're bringing it up. It's usually not in the good light.
Yeah, so, you know, for government operations, you know, they're like the tech crew, right? When people notice the sound and light, that's a bad thing. They shouldn't notice that kind
absolutely.
Of stuff. Hey, just last quick thing, because I wanted to find out where we stand on this. The city talking a lot about homelessness and what they're doing, and kind of waiting on the county to, you know, take your action with your ARPA funds. Do you have a deadline maybe tomorrow to turn in the application for the shelter that you want to build, or has it already been turned in? Where are we at with that?
Yeah, we turned that application in last Friday.
Okay.
I signed some documents, and so we turned that in last Friday. And let me say this. I know we are working with the city in this initiative. D.C. has the federal homeless expert coming in on, I think, May the 9th. We're going to have a joint city-county meeting and listen to the presentation. And then the 10th, we're going to have like a civic con about the issue. But I would also say internally, I put a small working group together, working with Allison Patton and Chandra Smiley and some folks. And we've been meeting. We met last week with Dr. Joseph from Lakeview on continuum of care. And we want to see some changes there and make some improvements there. We've been involved in the point in time count. We got involved in that this year. Didn't go great, but it went better than it's been. But next year, I'm going to have my emergency manager run the whole point in time count. We're going to organize it and put it together. And I think we're going to be more successful next year. But we are driving hard, kind of behind the scenes, I guess. You know, we're going to meet with the continuum of care. We're going to meet with our service providers. And there's a disconnect between the different service providers and shelters.
Sure.
We want to bring all these people together, and we just want to bring them together and let them know what grants are available to them, how we can work with each other. And so we are driving hard behind the scenes in homelessness.
Yeah, no, and I understand, and I'm glad that's happening. That's been the long-standing problem with our approach to this, is lack of coordination between these different entities who have often been very stovepiped by their own choices, you know. And so, you know, getting everybody to work together, I know that's Connie's been working on that quite a bit as well. And so it's good to see and good to hear that, you know, not everything you see in the public about what's happening is the full totality of what's going on behind the scenes, whether it's this or working on the District 1 Medical Examiner Office or anything else that the county is doing. That's kind of why I like to have you on, to tell people the stuff they don't necessarily see out in the open. Wes Moreno, he is the county administrator for Escambia County. Wes, as always, thanks for your time. Thanks for what you're doing to lead the county and for giving us the information. I appreciate it, sir.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. We'll see you later.
Absolutely. 548 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You know, sometimes I'm talking about Christina Leavenworth and her folks at Leavenworth Realty and all the great work they do and the hundreds of homes that they sell every year and the great prices they get on sales and the great prices they get on buys, you know, both directions. I know what you might think is, what does that have to do with me? I'm not selling a home anytime soon. And I'm not buying a home anytime soon. And that's fine. I understand. Okay. But, you know, obviously I want you to think about Christina maybe in a year or two if you do get in that situation. But there might be a way that it's relevant to you right now. Do you have friends who are buying or selling? See, people ask me all the time, you know, hey, Andrew, who do you recommend for this or for this? And I say, well, you know, when it's real estate, Christina Leavenworth, because she and her team at Leavenworth Realty are amazing. I mean, they really are. And the way they do things is special, and the paying attention to the details and thinking about it like it's her own home every single time. I don't know how she does it. I could not do it. But what they do is, frankly, amazing. And so I tell them, you know, Christina Leavenworth, well, you can be in the same position. If you believe, and I hope that she's great, can sell your house for a better price or buy a house for a better price, then why wouldn't you want to give that benefit to the people in your life who you like and are friends with? And that's the idea. Just kind of keep your ears open. And if somebody's talking about buying or selling, it's perfectly acceptable for you to say to them, you know, hey, Andrew McKay is always raving about Christina Leavenworth. Maybe give her a call and find out what she can do for you. 723-9158, 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Whether you're looking for the number one selling diesel lawnmower, utility vehicle, compact tractor, or compact excavator, Coastal Machinery has it all. There's a reason even their competitors use Kubota engines. It's the number one diesel engine under 100 horsepower in the world. Take advantage of 0% long-term financing and large Kubota incentives. Stop by the Kubota field event today from 10:30 to 12:30. Talk with Kubota factory reps and enjoy free lunch and door prizes. 6701 Mobile Highway, just north of the Pensacola Interstate Fairgrounds.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Wherever you are, you can listen to News Radio Pensacola on the radio at 92.3, 95.3, or AM 1620.
Now look what that dog did. He knows I can't see without my glasses.
Having some good time with the music today, playing some of my favorites. Little David Lee Roth on his own, little shy boy. 552 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh yeah, come on, come on, come on.
On the stage, I'm in a rage, but you are never fool.
Well, I can rock with anyone, but not alone with you. Sorry for singing. I just couldn't stop myself.
You're much nicer than David Lee Roth, and that's saying something.
I appreciate that.
No, that was not an
I don't
compliment.
Even own any spandex, honestly. But maybe I just feel like I should. 552.
You want me to get you some? You
no,
know I always
good.
Have everything in the
no.
Jeep. All right.
You'd be like, here's your Lululemon. Oh, no.
Those are supposed to be pretty nice.
Yeah. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
I also own spandex. Just saying.
You really do, though.
Are they Lululemons?
They might be. I don't know.
Do they make for men?
What are Lululemons?
It's a brand.
Lululemons is a brand of leggings and clothing.
And yoga brand for females, for like yoga workouts and stuff.
I probably don't have those.
Right.
One of Florida's biggest Trump supporters continuing to stand with the former president, Matt Gaetz, tweeting out yesterday that he still supports Trump after the indictment. Gaetz says a majority of Americans know that the Manhattan DA's witch hunt is a politically motivated prosecution. He also says he spoke with Trump last night and he was resolute and focused. President Joe Biden and First Lady Jill Biden going to be in Mississippi today. They're going to be surveying the damage caused by those tornadoes late last week. The president will also be meeting with Mississippi officials about recovery efforts. And former crypto king Sam Bankman-Fried is pleading not guilty to bribery charges. He was accused of bribing a Chinese government official with $40 million in 2021 when he was still the CEO of FTX.
All right. Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, 437-1620. Hey, if you are a business owner and you have to deal with employees, health insurance benefits, dental, vision, life, human resources management, payroll, you know, all the fun stuff, like the luxury items of being a business owner. I know for some of you, like, no, stop talking about it. Okay. Yes, that's annoying stuff, but it's important stuff, obviously, and it can be the difference between whether you attract and recruit good talent, keep good talent, right? And you want your people to be happy, have choices, save money, all of that. This is why you call Torgerson Causey. Number one, good for your employees. I know because we've been using them here at a News Radio in Cat Country for about 5 years, and they've been fantastic. They gave us options we didn't have before. Also, good for you to get it off your plate if you're a business owner. Like, somebody else can manage it for you, and that's exactly what they do. For more than 20 years, Torgerson Causey has been helping local businesses like ours, like yours, run things better for their employees. So give them a call. No obligation to have them look over what you're doing and see if it's the best it can be. 433-9996, Torgerson Causey. Check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. 555 here on News Radio 92.3. We are on the verge of getting the new gun law passed that would make it so that somebody can conceal carry without a Florida permit, the same law that's already been in effect for a little while over in Alabama. You can carry in Alabama legally from Florida as long as you don't have, like, a felony conviction. You know, anything that would prevent you from getting a concealed carry license, the same thing would prevent you from actually carrying concealed without a license. That's kind of the idea. Yes, you will still be able to get the license, because one of the reasons people might want them is if you travel to other states that have reciprocity agreements with Florida. Not all do. There are a couple of holdouts that definitely do not. For example, my former home state of Illinois, which is one of the worst states in the union for gun rights, they do not have a reciprocity agreement. So, you know, it's kind of funny, like, whenever we go visit grandma in Illinois, you know, I can have the gun on me or in the car. And then as soon as you get to the border of Illinois, or before, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to take the gun out, take out the magazine, ideally unload it, lock it, put it in a container in the trunk, inaccessible to you. That's the law in Illinois. Like, it's insane. And honestly, I've had cops tell me in Illinois, if I do all of that, am I okay? Probably. Like, not even for sure okay at that point. So
even East St. Louis?
Yeah, no, even in East St. Louis. That's right. Good catch. Nice reference. I appreciate that.
Oh, I've been there by mistake.
East St. Louis, a rough place. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, that's what they go to at the beginning of vacation.
Yeah. East St. Louis is where, like, for New Year's Eve. Okay. If you live in East St. Louis, you put, you know, blackout on your windows and you turn off all the lights and you hide for 4 hours and hope you don't get shot in your house. I mean, like, I have friends who lived in East St. Louis and that's kind of their experience. Anyway, back to the point. You can still get a permit in Florida in order to get reciprocity in states where you need a permit. Obviously, if you go to Alabama, you don't need one because they don't require you to have a permit either. You will still not be able to carry it in all the same exact places. You cannot take it, like, onto a college campus. You can't take it onto a military base. You know, you can't take it into a bar. Can't take it. By the way, one of the points of contention here is you will not be able to take it into a legislative body when they're meeting. Technically, you could take it to city council chambers when they're not in session in City Hall, but you can't take it to city council chambers when they're meeting, is the way the rule works. So the legislature says, yes, you should be able to conceal carry, but not in the legislative session. So, you know, arguments about hypocrisy and all that. So anyway, that's going to get signed. But what's interesting is that I think it was yesterday, Governor DeSantis, I almost said president, wishful thinking soon. Anyway, Governor DeSantis kind of got ambushed, asked the question, will you be calling a special session for full open carry, which would be under your clothes or outside of your clothes, like on your hip, which we do not have in Florida and have not had for a long time, if ever. But they do have in a lot of states, you know, like Arizona and Oregon. And I think Texas has open carry. And I mean, there's all kinds of states that have open carry. Anyway, he was asked if he would go for that, if he would call a special session to advance it one step further, because that's been the argument from the more avid gun rights advocates, is they say this isn't constitutional carry even yet. Open carry would be constitutional carry. Here's what he said. If I can get the vote. So if he can get the votes in the legislature for a full open carry, he said he'll call a special session. So we could actually see, even though we're only so far talking about permitless carry, we could actually see full open carry during the later spring or summer if he feels like he's got the votes in order to call a special session to take up that particular question, which in my mind would be great. I have advocated for this for forever. I think it's better. I think it's simpler. It's cleaner. I want you to have the choice to conceal or open carry if you're a citizen. And I've lived in places where there was open carry, and it's honest to goodness, genuinely no big deal. It's just something you get used to like anything else. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Thanks so much. Stick around.